News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, if you've heard me talk about it before, take note, I am telling you again, ZLA Solutions, man, those guys are kicking it. And I know these folks personally, so when I get on here and I talk about ZLA Solutions, it's pretty easy because they're people that I know well, and I know how good a job they do. So ZLA Solutions, their website is ZLAUSA.com. Check them out. They are doing an amazing job at getting people back to work. It's what they do. It's their bread and butter. Now, they can help you with all kinds of things for your business. They can do things like your sorting and containment, your quality control. They can help you with some logistical solutions. But the real deal, the thing that made their name is in staffing, whether it be temp or direct hire. They can square you away on getting a workforce for your business. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, blue collar, white collar, no collar. It don't matter. And they can literally, by the way, if you're an individual looking for a job, just you yourself, go to their website. Like I said a moment ago, ZLAUSA.com. They've got them posted all over. They told me the other day, they've got one right now. They're hiring for a manufacturing facility paying $20 an hour and there's benefits. I'm just saying ZLA Solutions is where it's at. ZLAUSA.com is their website. They like to say at ZLA, we don't make it. We just make it better. And that's what they do. They work with you to make your business even better. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right. Hey, listen. This is not part of the Triple Dipper, but the situation in Ukraine is such that I believe it requires an update. I don't think we can just blow past the fact that it's still going on. And if you notice, I've not made it part of the Triple Dipper here lately, but I cannot not address it, and I cannot also, by the way, not recognize the fact that we have a very military-centric listening audience, a lot of veterans, a lot of current green suiters out there at Redstone over in Anniston Army Depot, certainly members of our Reserve and National Guard, and then a lot of veteran families, and then we have the defense industry, which is huge in and around the listening area. So I'm going to take a few minutes here and give you some brief updates on things that some of you may be tracking and some of which may be new. So, as of today, still, by the way, I still believe this is the story of the decade, literally the story of the decade. Right now, Ukrainian forces are saying that they have captured, what amounts to, the newest air defense systems, being employed in the war, by the Russians. It's called the Barnaul T Air Defense Radar and Command Post Vehicle. It's supposed to be state-of-the-art for Russian military. Ukrainian forces, according to a story I'm reading right here on thedrive.com, Ukrainian forces continue to capture and sometimes even stumble across, if you get down to it, some of Russia's most sophisticated ground combat hardware. But this past weekend, pictures emerged online showing this Russian radar-equipped air defense command post, part of the larger system I just told you was called the Barnaul T, that Ukrainian troops found during one of their counteroffensives in the Kharkiv region. Now, let's talk about that. First of all, are they capturing significant military hardware? Yes. The amazing thing is they're capturing it fully intact. So anybody who has worked in a situation where you recognize that you have to abandon combat vehicles, especially when they contain COMSEC devices, secure communications devices, or other data or things that are considered to be at the very least sensitive, or you just don't want them turned against you. You don't want to make it a trophy. Well, there are means by which you can disable or, for that matter, destroy your own vehicle before you leave it. It's not uncommon to see a thermite grenade on top of the communications gear or something done to disable the vehicle or at the very least render it in such a way that it cannot be used for intel purposes other than just, sort of speculating what that thing does. Well, that's not what's happening. The Ukrainians are on the counteroffensive in a number of places throughout their own country. They're fighting with the passion of people who are fighting for their own homes. The Russians are not fighting with the same passion at all, at all. Thus far, it appears the Russians have not achieved a single military objective. They are making some gains, but they are experiencing significant losses. The Russian losses right now are conservatively estimated to be well, like four times in excess of what we experienced in 20 years of ground combat in Afghanistan. And that's in 1 month. Upwards of 14,000 Russian soldiers, or as few as 8,000, depending upon whose estimates you read. And that's where they are right now. So Ukraine is on the counteroffensive in multiple places. That's not, by the way, that's a significant thing. The counteroffensive begins when you have held your ground on the original offensive, and you are now feeling like you have the posture to lean forward and to move against the opposing force. And what they're doing right now by having a counteroffensive is an amazing thing when you consider the fact that even the highest level of estimates here in the U.S. gave them nothing but 2 to 3 days before the entire nation of Ukraine would capitulate and the government would be overthrown. Nope, ain't happening. Other things that are going on in this escalating conflict, though, I want to make sure you guys are aware, is that there are a number of situations brewing with regards to humanitarian relief. So you remember the city of Mariupol, probably one of the most beleaguered municipalities in the entire war zone. Mariupol, it rests on the Black Sea down to the southeast portion of Ukraine. It is close to the border of Russia. It also is sort of what they're calling, it has a major highway that runs through it that creates what they call the land bridge between Russian-held territory in the east in the Donetsk region, in the old the total Donbass region, over to Crimean Peninsula. Mariupol is being flattened. I mean flattened. Mariupol is being destroyed, like to carpet bombing levels not seen since World War II. Well, there have been a number of refugees there right now. Today, we have a report that finally, and by the way, the Russians have been killing, attempted displaced civilians, displaced civilians attempting to leave. Well, around 2,000 Mariupol evacuees are currently on the move, according to latest reports from Fox, being escorted by the Red Cross, heading from the Mariupol area to the city of Zaporizhia, which is under Ukrainian control, and that's ongoing as we speak. That's a big deal. I mean, that's 42 buses, 42 buses of Mariupol residents trying to depart. Most of them were in a nearby city called Berdyansk, which Mariupol residents were able to flee to. That's ongoing. All right, here's another thing that's happened. You may recall a few weeks ago that Russian forces, for whatever reason, took over the Chernobyl nuclear plant. All right. I mean, first of all, when you hear the word Chernobyl, the whole world goes, oh, holy cow, what's going on with Chernobyl? I thought it was just locked down. Well, apparently there is some constant monitoring that goes on there, as well as potentially something that affects the power grid. I'm not sure to what extent. But nonetheless, Ukraine has now claimed that Russian forces have now left Chernobyl and handed over control back to Ukraine. That's not a counteroffensive so much as it is apparently a ceding of territory. That's just basically saying, we're not going to stay here. This is not worth it. And they're stepping out and letting Ukraine come back in. We've got reports right now, too, that a number of things are happening with regards to an alleged attack across the Russian lines. So there's an oil farm. You know, one of those tank farms, kind of like we have the one down there on I-65 going south on the south side of Birmingham. Major tank farm is ablaze right now. Russians are claiming that Ukrainians attacked across Russian lines and you know, set the place ablaze. Personally, I would applaud that. I mean, okay, if Russia, if you're complaining, which they are, if you're complaining, then I would have to say, well, you know what? You started this. And is it an escalation? No, not really. Some might call it an escalation because it's the first time that potentially Ukrainian attacks have gone across the Russian border. But why would they not at this point? I mean, they're at war and their nation is being leveled even as we speak. Their infrastructure is being crushed. Their people are being targeted. Civilians are being targeted. So I would hope that the reports we're seeing are not, you know, right now what they appear to be is Russia calling them out for it. Calling them out for what? Your oil farm is in the wrong place. Guess what? You may have just gotten a bloody nose. What, you started it. And so we'll see where this goes. But some are saying that appears to be, you know, somewhat of an escalation. No, I would just say it's a new deal. It's Russia. You are not. If it was Ukraine. Now, Ukraine, by the way, is claiming it's a false flag, that it's Russia trying to stoke. Starting to stoke public sentiments back home, because Russia is this war is not very popular. They're doing the best they can to put on a brave face, but they are losing their blood and treasure left and right. Steve Forbes came out today, slammed the Biden administration, calling it morally reprehensible that we do not have a more engaging Biden administration on the handling of the Russia-Ukraine war. His quote was, "The fact of the matter is the administration is not doing all it can do to enable Ukraine to win this war." He's not saying go put U.S. troops there. What he's saying is that Ukraine, properly armed, would win this war militarily, and in terms of depriving Russia the means to fight against Ukraine, we still haven't put on the full sanctions. We're still allowing the energy of Russia to go out. Why don't we sanction the oil? Great questions. I got time for a very brief call before we go to the break, so let me grab that real quick. Line two, Ray from Falkville. Hey, Ray, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Phil. From everything I'm hearing, and I'm hearing quite a bit, that the Nazis that are in Ukraine are the ones attacking the Ukrainian people. Not the Russians are giving them aid, taking them out and giving them sanctuary. But the Ukrainians is who's attacking the Nazis are attacking their own people.
Okay. All right, Ray.
You got somebody on the ground.
Hang on, Ray. I've got people on the ground too. But the reality is, why would a nation that has a Jewish president and a strong Jewish community have Nazis roaming the countryside, killing its own citizens, and not make it known themselves?
Because he's a coward.
Okay. And he's a coward, even though he's refusing to leave his own country while the Russians are invading. And so are you saying that the Russian missiles are not the part of what's destroying Ukraine?
The Ukrainian president is a Nazi.
You're saying the Ukrainian president, who is a Jew, whose grandparents were in labor camps in Nazi Germany in World War II, is himself a secret Nazi?
He's a Nazi.
Ray, have a good day, and I think you'd start reading some more mainstream news sources. All right. All right, Copper, take us to a break on that very interesting note. I know, Copper. I don't know what to say to that. I mean, you look at it and go, really? So what you're thinking is that they're just running amongst themselves, just running amok, if you will, killing their own citizens because they're Nazis, and Putin's really right. He's trying to save the world from the next new Nazi party, and that the Jewish president is a Nazi, and I can't even go there anymore. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, we are looking into that situation that that our friend Dale Jackson called in about, the massive traffic backup on I-65. Just be aware. We'll try and find an update on that. Copper's looking into it now. But if you are headed home, you just might want to know, if you haven't heard it before, that the I-65 from Highway 72 down to the 565 exchange, and even parts of that, were just a total boondoggle. Like, if you're headed south trying to go home from Madison or Athens area to jump down to 565 and into town, probably not worth doing right now, or at least it wasn't an hour ago. So just be aware, it was completely jacked up, and not sure what it was. Some reports that it was a bridge inspection, other reports that it might have been an accident. Copper's trying to find out what the status is, and we'll let you know when we know. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, too, we have great sponsors on this show. If you find yourself wanting to advertise your business here, we would love to have you. But the best way to contact or to find out if you can directly support and be a part of Right Side Radio is to contact Right Side Radio. Just go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and there's a place on there where you can find the contacts, and it will tell you directly how to send us a message. We will jump on that in a heartbeat and get engaged with you on how best to bring you on board as one of our team members. Not only that, but all of our team members are also on our website, rightsideradio.org, and you'll see all of them there with live hot links from their logo to their own websites. So we love syncing that up and making you a part of the team. Let us know how to make that work. We would love to have you. One last thing I will say on the issue of Ukraine. And by the way, no, I do not believe that Volodymyr Zelensky is himself a Nazi. I don't believe that at all. But nonetheless, let me just say this. Kiev, or Kyiv, as apparently the Ukrainian pronunciation is, there have been reports in the last couple of days from Russia itself saying they are pulling back and that they are moving their troops away from Kyiv, and they're going to focus their efforts on the eastern edge of the country, meaning the sort of the half-moon arc of the Donbass region with Donetsk and Luhansk, and scrolling down through Mariupol, which they're trying to take, and over to the Crimean Peninsula. All right, that being said, that makes no sense. If you think for a minute, Russia, that we're buying the fact that you've been all over the country trying to take the capital and other portions, trying to get your way over to Odessa on the port or the western side of the Crimean Peninsula. If you think for a second we believe that you never really intended to do anything more than just sort of benefit, you know, those Russian-centric citizens on the eastern side, no, we don't buy that for a second. What's really probably happening, and the Pentagon did say this, they don't see this as a pullback so much as it is a repositioning. And I would agree. Apparently, the reports are that the Russian troops in and around Kyiv have been hammered. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like putting the wood to them. I mean like the smackdown. And they are probably moving their troops, I would bet, over to Belarus to give them an opportunity to rest, to refit, to rearm, and probably to reconsolidate some units which have been devastated into other units. So that's exactly what I believe is happening. I think time will tell, but the reality is no one believes for a second that they don't really care about the rest of the country. They just really wanted that eastern section along the border of Russia. No. Then why were you trying to dethrone, if you will, the actual government itself in Kyiv? And why are you launching missiles to the far west into Kharkiv and Lviv? No, it's not. We're not buying it. You're trying to get the whole country. And you thought you'd do it in 72 hours, Mr. Putin, and you failed. And right now, the smaller neighbor to your west, Mr. Putin, is smacking you around. All right, we're coming up next at the top of the hour news break with one of my favorite times of every single week, Copper and the Birdman. Going to run through some things that are happening in the news and see what my younger generation conservatives think about them. We'll see what they have to say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.